You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. No, that's that. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, deal with us according to your grace and your mercy. And grant, our God, that you would accomplish, in spite of everything, that which you have in mind for our head and heart, even in this hour, for this day. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of our study of John, remember the Lord is about to be crucified, and he has given a very detailed, some very detailed information, instruction for his disciples. They are going to remain, and they need to understand the whole purpose of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And they need to be able to demonstrate that in a most awesome way, and by having a unique relationship to him as his body. Now, so therefore, as we did chapter 15 and reminded ourselves, God said you need to go. You can't have any of the benefits, of the marvelous benefits, the awesome benefits that are found in chapter 14, etc. To be able to have those benefits, to enjoy those benefits, requires a relationship. And we share that together, vine and the branch, and you need to abide, verse 4 and 5 of chapter 15. And you need to abide the relationship, vine and branch, in order to understand. The branch does nothing except abide in the right place, the right person, for the right reasons. And it just produces fruit. Fruit is the great, is to be expressed in a most wonderful way. Fruit. The fruit is nothing other than, less than, God himself. God demonstrating in the heart of a believer, his wonderful person, in his grace and in his mercy, showing himself love, joy, peace, etc. for the heart. And the heart walks with God like Noah. Noah walked with God, etc. Abraham walked with God. What a believer is doing, walking with God. Now, and we said that little bit and we went down, and God encourages negatively, without me you can do nothing, and if you do nothing, the branch doesn't have any fruit, and the branch is burned up. That's what it is. It has no value. It didn't do what it was supposed to do. That doesn't mean you aren't saved, a person. It just means you didn't produce. You didn't enjoy being saved. Israel didn't enjoy, as we shared in Sunday school, Israel didn't enjoy being a special nation, a holy nation. They never capitalized on it like they could. They just didn't do it. They could have. So here we are, God, and we learn from them, and we don't want to be like them in that way. Now, so God, you gave the negative, verse 6, and then you gave the positive, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So there's a unique relationship that produces an awesome, awesome advantage of being able to ask anything in his name, and God will do it. Anything. Anything means anything. Anything. Hang on to that. Now, so therefore, verse 7, if you abide in me, you may, a third class condition, you may or may not, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So, A, we shared together a little bit. that God, that you find your home, you find yourself comfortable in God, with God, honoring God's presence. Here we are. God, are we going to be comfortable with you? That's what you want. You want us to be at home with you. So, and here we are, God. Here's a using the illustration for good or bad. Here's a bunch of military men lined up in wonderful decor and performance, and everything is in preciseness as they do. And here you are. Are you going to be comfortable, if you could be, identifying with their position, their preciseness? Are you comfortable that what they do, how they say, how they stand? Would you be comfortable? Be at home with them? Would you be at home? Here's the Supreme Court meeting, great Supreme Court, Washington. Here they are meeting in a room, and they're there dealing with the subjects that they have to do. And would you be home comfortable if I could invite you into their presence to sit with them? Would you be comfortable sitting with them? Would you be at home with them? The question is, are you at home with God? Now, secondly, God says, do my words find a home in you? Do my words find a home? Think of Deuteronomy 6 and all of that, where the people put it on their frontlets, their hands, their eyes, and their doorposts and everything. Because the word of God was to be at home with the Israelite, literally and physically. You could see it everywhere. Wow. So that everyone would know, who's comfortable in your house? God is. God's comfortable in your heart. God's word is comfortable in your life, everywhere. You don't have to apologize. You don't say, well, I'm going to think about it. No, it's just there. And you enjoy the wonderful words of God, not our words, his words and his thoughts that are higher than the heavens. And we enjoy those so that we're at home. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and when you do that, when you have that relationship, you in God, comfortable, and God's word at home in you. So you don't balk at God's word. We're looking at God's word to grow, to know, to believe. Believers need to be believing like we should. Now, so here's chapter 15, and God adds to that. After that, he adds to it, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, God, why do we have to have this abiding, us in you and you in us? Why do we have to have that vine and the branch? Why do we have that? So that we produce fruit. How can we produce the relationship that you have made possible on Calvary's cross? How can we produce that relationship apart from your Son? We can't. So because of your Son that saves us and sanctifies us and sets us apart, that we're able to enjoy a unique relationship to you, totally provided by you. Not by us, but by you. And therefore, that's what you want us to have, so that the Father, verse 8, the Father is glorified. My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Because the fruit is what? The evidence of your relationship to God in a unique and wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, remember now, don't have to turn there, but in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, verse 14, a uniquely begotten Son of God from the Father, full of grace and truth, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is glorified in his Son. Now, God, you sent your Son, Isaiah 9, 6. A son is born, a child is given. You sent your Son to put yourself, the invisible, infinite, holy God on display. Otherwise, we couldn't see you. We have a problem. But God, you made that problem a little easier for us by becoming a man born in Bethlehem of Judea. And therefore, God, as we look at you, we're supposed to, the disciples, as they shared, they had 3 1/3 years to do so. All they did is absorb your wonderful consistency and your wonderful remarkableness and your awesomeness. So now, therefore, and they understood your glory. They understood God in you, but they couldn't put it together properly. They just couldn't put it until the day of Pentecost. But they certainly were in your presence, God. They were. Now, therefore, Lord, what are you saying to your disciples, even to us today? Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, bearing much fruit. Well, what does that have to do with us, glorified? God is glorified in you. God, you are glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, you're telling us that if we abide in you and you abide in us, that we're going to glorify you. And that whatever we ask in your name, you're going to be able to do it. So here's our little word, glory. Glory, looking actually. All the words are awesome. Just think of, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Two little letters. Is. Love. L-O-V-E. Huge. Glory, if I can spell it. G-L-O-R-Y. Huge. Little words. I in you, and you in me. How little can you get? How awesome. Such little words. Now, so here's glory. Now, God, we want to understand that. And the word glory has to do with to think, to esteem, that kind of thing, as we're looking at it here in the Greek. Now, and you want to get that. Where does that word come from? Well, that word comes from the Old Testament. And the Old Testament has the word glory, among other things. And in this word glory that we're looking at, kaved, the word we're looking at, has to do with that which is heavy. And there are 3 W's. You remember when we did glory at some length, so you could understand a little bit. Here's the word glory. Now, and it has to do with the first place it's used is in Genesis 3 and in verse 2. You don't have to turn there. But Abraham is a marked man. How is he marked? For all the people to look at. Remember, he never has an army. The most he'll have is 317 men that are able to go and fight. He doesn't have an army. But boy, could he fight. Could they fight 5 kings if they had to? You betcha. But what is it that he had? God gave him his wonderful glory. And that is the word Abraham. When people looked at Abraham, he was rich, R-I-C-H, rich, which is the word glory. Now, take the word glory and put W's to it. It has to do with worth, that which is worth something. If I had I'm not very good at this, but if I had a 10-carat diamond, perfectly cut, isn't that worth something, you diamond people? It's worth something. Worth. Worth. Weight. Weight. If you have an elephant in the room and put him on the scale, is he heavy? He's heavy. He weighs. Worth. Weight. Worth. Weight, if you would. Worth weight. And as you go to weigh, worth weight. And way. And wealth, wealth. Abraham was rich, the word wealth. That's the word. Abraham had cattle, sheep, camels. And when you look, here's Abraham with his, I just think of the big ranches out in Oklahoma, and that where I used to be for a little bit. Out there, they drove miles and miles in their field. And animals, all of it was there. Cattle, 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 cattle. Wow. So when you looked out the window of Abraham's house, all you could see is his wealth, his riches, animals, and everything he needed. His wealth. Wow. Wealth, worth, weight. You have the word glory. That which demands your attention, it demands it. How could you look and not be overwhelmed at what you see, at what the elephant weighs, the diamond? Wow. It capitalizes, it demands your attention. And therefore, your recognition, that's the word glory. That which God is glorious. So when you look at God, and think about God correctly, like with Sunday school and all of that, when you understand God, he's glorious, awesomely glorious. God is forever, and everything is in the middle of God. All of the universes are in the middle of God. God, wow, you are glorious, that's right. And God, what you do is for your glory, that's right. That's why you created us, for your glory. For you to demonstrate your marvelous person, your unique, awesome, wondrous person in a most awesome way by creating us in particular in your image and likeness. Now, having said that little bit about glory, and remember we shared together the glory of his person and the glory of what he does and how he does it. And think of Psalm 19, 1 and 9. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth his handiwork, his awesomes, everything. You know all this. I don't see how you can be an evolutionist anyway. There's nothing you can study that I know of. Bugs, birds, animals, science. What do you want to study? Mathematics? What do you want to study? It's awesome. Only God can do this. There's no way. Each of the flowers are in particular full of difference and design. Wow. Now God, there's no one that can do that. No one can make snowflakes different. Thousands of snowflakes, zillions of snowflakes. God, wow. That's right. Now, God, you're a glorious person, and what you do is glorious. Now, having said that, we're now ready to give it a shot so you have a little bit of understanding in your head and heart about God's wonderful person. Now, God, what are you going to do? Why did you create us? You created flowers, birds, bugs, bees for your glory. You created us for your glory. In particular, we are specially created for your glory. So we just aren't just, the angels are wonderful, awesome, no question. But we're different than angels, and we have the opportunity to grow and to be and to have an advantage. Angels will never, never, never have. And that's the whole point of being human, to be able to have a unique privilege in forever that they never have. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, his God in Christ, and God in Christ is glorious in his most glorious and wonderful way. Over now, if you would, to pick up the flavor of this, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, you're going to pick up the mood and movement. If I can, 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4, picking up, please, may I go directly in the light of the context, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, unsaved people, in whom the God of this world, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. How can he blind the mind? By not believing. The minute you don't believe, your mind is shut off. I don't believe that. The minute you say, I question that, doubt that, blind. Blind. You can't see. You did it to yourself. You did that. You didn't believe. And you shut it off. So you won't see it. You can study it for the next 10 hours, but you don't believe. You won't see it. You won't see it. I'll use a simple thing. God, the Lord is your shepherd. Now you have to believe. I can study it and understand pastor and all these words, but I'll never know. He's my shepherd. Do you know what it is? I know, we are sheep after all, to be shepherded. How do you know? You won't know what it is to be shepherded. You can only talk about it. That's all you can do. Love. God loves you. But if you don't believe that, show me how you're loved. You can't. You have to believe. God requires it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he what? That he is. You aren't going to go anywhere. So you're going to, and it never happens. And you want it to happen in your life. Therefore, over to verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And that light hath shined where? In our hearts. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christ is the light of the world. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. To give the light, he's the light of the world, of the knowledge, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. What's it all about? What are you going to do when I receive the Lord as my Savior? What is the purpose of Jesus Christ? He is God become flesh to show his glory. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, what is God doing? He's going to show himself that he's God. He's a glorious God. Glory, underline. He's a glorious God. That's what he's going to do. You receive him as your Savior. And what are you going to find? God is God, you are something else. Glorious. Absolutely. And the glory of God, where am I going to see it all? There's no question. In the face of Jesus Christ, when you receive the Lord as your Savior. And, add, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency, the oversurpassing awesomeness of the power may be of God and not of us. So that we're excited about winning and going and growing and knowing God is his wonderful, wonderful person, God to do so because of the Lord Jesus Christ who brings God wonderfully, wonderfully into the heart now. And God, you do that in a most awesome way. And you do it to bring the glory of God. So what am I going to do? When I get saved, I'm supposed to what? I'm supposed to be learning and developing an understanding of my relationship to God, his person. I do that by his word. Verse 7, John 15, thy word, hide thy word. Are my words finding a home in your heart? Are you finding your home in me? That's a relationship. And that relationship is what? To reveal God's wonderful person. He's glorious. To make an impression upon you. Is God man-sized, this big? How big is God? How big is he? Is he big as the Jolly Green Giant? How big is he? There is no word for God. There is no word, because God is totally everything. So all of the words, the whole everything is in the middle of God. How big is God? Can God make a rock that he couldn't lift? No. No, can't do it. No, because he's God. He's a wonderful God. And what are we supposed to be knowing? God, you are awesome. That's right, you're glorious. Uh-huh. Now, and having said that, slide over to chapter 3, since you're here, chapter 3, and go over if I can. Remember, here's the Jewish people that if they would just believe Moses and believe God's word, then they would get saved. In verse 14, 3 and 14, in the light of it, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which they should hide in their heart, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ fulfills the law. He fulfills the word. Scripture is all about God, his wonderful person. So now, sliding down, verse 17. For the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding, as looking in a great wonderful mirror, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And as we look at God and learn about God, which is what we're doing, that's why we Sunday school, all of that, you've got to understand God's unique holiness, difference. Now, so here we are looking, God, then we are changed from image to the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of truth. So as we're looking, what happens? We're looking. The more I look at God's word, the more God's word in my heart finds a home. The more I find my home in God, I'm comfortable with God more and more, his wonderful, awesome person. No flesh shall glory in his presence. And we're learning to rest in his God's wonderful person. And we're changed. We're changed like the man, the illustration of the out there with the mountains and the three, four faces or whatever up there, out in the northwest and midwest and out there. And then he plowed the field and plowed the field and plowed the field. And every day he plowed the field. And there, as he looked up, there were those faces looking at him. And as he grew, when you looked at the man, you would see, when he looked at those faces, it transferred, and his whole face showed he had been in their presence. Now God, that's an illustration, but God, here we are, and looking to you, we're going to be changed. That's right. The more I read the Bible, it's less of me and more of God. John says, I must decrease and he must increase. And as we look at God's word and we see God's word, it does a wonderful thing. It changes us. It changes our attitude. It changes our coming and going, our whole thinking, and our whole thinking about everything. Whole thinking changes. And we need to think and understand and operate from, like we said in Sunday school, headquarters, from God's holy, happy heaven. So you see your work, your home, your school, pain, headache, heartache, easy, hard, much, little. You want to see it from heaven, from God's point of view. So now, having said that, God is then, we haven't even started. Verse chapter 4. Chapter 4. God, this wonderful glory that you want us to have, is to produce much fruit. This wonderful glory is awesome. It is. So here, chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man, that's a physical being, wearing and having all its ills and aches and ups and downs, and here's our physical problem, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, and day we're changed. We're changed, like we read in chapter 3 and verse 18. We're changed. Uh-huh, we get old, but we feel stronger. We're weaker, but we are better. Wow. We don't have a whole lot, but we find we have a whole lot more. And what we used to think we were the giants of all giants and the conquerors of all conquerors, we're just amazing we can walk. And, and not fall down the stairs or whatever. Wow. But that isn't an issue, because God gives a whole nother way that you're stronger than ever. You're safer than ever. You used to trust in your own for school, for work, but you don't, now you get older, you know, and no. And think of all the things you learned and tentatively, and you all have them and you need to go through them. It's good discipline, no question, at least that. But God, here we are, and we get older. I'll bet you, I'd have to, for me, I don't know about anyone else, I hear the little kids learning everything. I almost would have to start, to tell you honestly and objectively, I'd have to go probably to the third grade, I'd make it there, and start again. Because, boy, I wouldn't, you know. Where does the algebra minus, 2 minuses equal what, you know? You know, and start doing all that stuff. Man, I can't even count without fingers. I mean, I have to tell you. Wow. But, God, it's all perishing. Absolutely. Be of good cheer. It isn't what counts. Your life isn't in your body. Your life isn't in your brain, your blood, your bones, your beauty, or anything else. Your life is in me. And your life in me has nothing to do with your body. It has nothing to do with deterioration or time or anything. It has to do with who I am. And you learn to enjoy who I am. That's all. And am I the same tomorrow? Absolutely. Are you going to be the same next day? So the more you learn, you're always the same. Like Hebrews, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, so here, I don't want to lose it. Verse 17. For here we are perishing, but what do you call it, God? What do you call all this wearing away of our body and everything? A light affliction, which is but for a moment. And it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So God, you're trying to do something in us. That's right. Chapter 3, verse 18. You're going to be changed from one degree of glory to another. I'm doing something in you. And I'm going to take away, you're going to age, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to take all of that, disappear, I don't need it, I don't want it. I'm going to help you grow inside. I'm going to help you grow. It isn't about your family, it isn't about your job, it isn't about your health, it isn't about anything. It's about your relationship to Almighty God, who has shown you and wants to be in you, the Lord, living and only Savior, to be glorious in you. God is glorious. He wants to be glorious in you. He wants you to appreciate His glory. He wants you to enjoy His glory. Hang on. Now, so here we are looking to eternal way to glory. So God, what you're doing in us is going to make a wonderful, wonderful future. Now hang on to that. A wonderful, wonderful tomorrow. That's what it's going to do. So what you're doing now in us is helping us to grow, to know, not to be fruitful, to be able to have gold, silver, precious stones, not wood, hay, stubble, to be able to grow and to develop and to have a wonderful, growing, awesome position, relationship to you, God. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Now, and so I'm doing that. So we're changed. So we're conformed to the image of His Son. And one day, in one moment, in the Lord's, even this, before we finish, the Lord is going to translate us, transform us into His wonderful presence at His rapture, when He takes us up. He's going to change us. And we are going to be totally dumped this body and given a new one with a whole, no old nature to deal with. We're just going to be changed dynamically, 1 Corinthians 15. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Wow. Now God said that ought to be an encouragement to you. Isn't it? That's what I'm going to... Well, no, I'm just in my prime. Don't count on it. Think of Isaiah chapter 40. And I will... Here's the young man with his strength and everything. And God said, listen, the old man, the old woman, the old one, I will beat to that strength. And they will beat you every time. And remember, you know all these things, and it, just in life. And when years ago, when I used to work at Hughes and all that stuff, and people were there, and I never had that stuff where I lived in Boston up there, and they played a handball in a court and stuff, and did that. And we played, and we were, you know, whatever we thought we were, and we went in, and the old men. You wouldn't think they could walk into the thing. And there they are, the old men. And you know what? They talk to each other, and we did, boy, and we swing and knock. Do you know what? They just hit the ball like this, and they kept getting points, and we lost. We lost every game. We lost every game. We did try. Boy, did we try. And they just yawned and just did it. Wow. The old men, Isaiah 40, will walk circles around you when it comes to push comes to shove. Now, so therefore, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you understand what God is doing? It isn't about your work, home, school, family, kids, flower, anything. It's about what's happening inside of you. Are you letting it happen inside of you? That's a question. Are you letting it happen inside of you? That's what it's about. It's a change. To be changed. That's what you're looking for. And that, I don't know. Why do we go to church? Why are they religious? To what? Moon of God. To pay their dues. Christian, Catholic, cultic, whatever. Pay our dues. Oh, God, it isn't about paying our dues. It's about honoring and knowing you. To take us from death unto life. That's what it's about. Now, God, having said that, and while I'm doing it, so just to be a pain in the neck to you, over to Romans chapter 8. I want to drive home the nail. If you don't mind, I like hitting the nail. I don't do very good at it, but I've hit the nail, so you can't get the nail out easy. Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. Wonderful. And you'll say it to me, yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon, I calculate, I compute, 8:18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? With the glory which shall be revealed in us. So whatever you're looking at, God said, let me finish what I'm doing. It will produce what you couldn't dream of in a most awesome way. Now God, you really care about this? I do. John chapter 17. The message disappeared, but I hope you're getting a little bit. Chapter 17. And may I pick up, please? Our Lord, what did you do? Well, you created us for your glory and honor. I did. And I made it so that all of these wonderful things in chapter 14 and that could happen. So that you, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, over if you would, in chapter 17, his prayer, this is really the Lord's prayer, if you're ever going to use that terminology. Chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 9. I pray for them, believers. I pray not for the world. You aren't praying for the world, no. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And verse 10. All mine are thine, God, and thine are mine, God the Father, God the Son. And I am glorified, in them. So what are you looking for if you're saved? You're looking for God to be God in your life. The glory of God, the weight, the worth, the wealth. For you to discover the awesome wonderment of God's person, the glory of God. We're to be to the glory of God. Whatever we eat or drink, we're to what? Do it to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10. That's what we do. So we live a normal life in an extraordinary way. Wow. That's what it's supposed to be. We eat the same hamburger, drink the same soda at McDonald's or something, but we're different. And God knows it. And puts us in the middle of the crowd line going to McDonald's because we're different. In work, in home, at school, in the classroom, we're different. We're different. Ah, that's what God wants. I want to show myself. They don't have to believe. They don't even have to understand. They just have to know that I was among them. And I, the Spirit of God, makes himself known. Not you. Do you see God? No. No, God makes it known. And if the heart is open, God will speak to that lady in the line. God will speak to that person over here. God's doing what he does. That's God. Being God. Aha, now. Therefore, God, you're going to glorify yourself in them. How so? Chapter 17, sliding over to verse 22. God, what are you going to do? And the glory which thou gavest me, that's the Father, I have given them, that they may, why did you give me your glory, God? That they may be one, even as we are one. We are one. Over to chapter 17, verse 5. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So, God, what did you do, Lord? Verse 22, I gave you my glory. I gave you myself. What is the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry? Chapter 16, Lord, what is this ministry? Well, verse 14, chapter 16, the Spirit of God's ministry, the Spirit of truth, chapter 16, verse 14, he, the Spirit of God, shall glorify me, our Lord, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given the glory in his Son to you. God, the Son, is glorious. God has given you glory. And Christ Jesus said, I am going to give you the glory. Whose glory? My glory. Not your glory. You don't have any. You're a vessel of dust. And I put this treasure in a vessel of clay and of dust so that the glory would all be about me. Think of 1 Corinthians, what we read, verse 29. No flesh shall glory in his presence. God has made unto us righteousness, etc., etc. So that if we're going to glory, let us glory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't glory in yourself. I don't want you to glory in me, in yourself. And it's nothing about us. Nothing about me. Nothing about you. No offense. It's about God. About God being God. And he's God. He created us, saved us in a most wonderful way. Now, so having said that, God, here we are. Oh, different. Over to chapter 14. And I hope you got a little bit in all of it. Chapter 4. Glory is a wonderful thing. Glory wants, I think our title, I tried it. Glory needs to find a home. Is your heart a home for the glory of God? That's a question. Is your heart a home for the glory of God? For God to be God? At work, at home, dishes. All that stuff? Wow. I'm doing dishes at the moment. Jeanette's going to relieve me in a year or two, she said. I don't. I don't let them get to be 4 or 5 days pile. I try to wash them before we even use them. Now, so God, what are we doing? Chapter 14. God, here we are looking. You said hide the word in our heart. So here's your word. In my heart is what? In your heart is found these words. Verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, you may be also. God, that's, I'm hiding it. Those words in my heart, in my head, those words in your heart, in your head, just read them. Are they there? Are they located? Going to find a home? Let them find a home. Therefore, if they find a home, I want you to be, the end of verse 3, that where I am, you may be there. That's what you want. I do. Now, go with me, please, over to chapter 17. Where you were, chapter 17. Now, God, how are you going to end before you go out to the garden and to the cross? Chapter 17, picking up, please. I in verse 23, I in them and they in thou in me, and that they may be made perfect, complete, whole in one relationship. And that purpose, the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, our Lord, in his perfect humanity, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Why? That purpose they may behold my glory. I want them to see how glorious I am. How glorious I am in you. No, I gave you my glory. I am your glory. I don't see any glory. I don't see anything, God, just a sight more than me. Ah! Take another look. You're being changed. I'm not after the body. I'm after your relationship to be outworked that you have to me. And as I outwork that relationship, I'm going to change you. And I want you to know, I went to prepare a place for you. I'm waiting for you to be there. If I can, I'm longing for you to be there. We're looking for the Lord's return. The Lord said, I'm looking for you to get here. I'm looking for you to get here, and he is. Wonderful. You're looking for us to get there. That's right. Because I want you to see who I am. I'm the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I am God made visible. Wow. That's what I want you to see. Hide the word in your heart. Keeps me going. Looking for his what? Imminent return. We're looking for it. That's right. You want it? I want it. You want it? He wants it. Wow. The glory of God. It's a wonderful thing in your heart. That is none other than God himself. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and deal with our heads and our hearts that we might get a little bit here and understand, God, the awesome, awesome wonderment of your person, God. God, you have to help us. You have to help us understand. You are so delightful and awesome to make no image in anything, anywhere, anyhow, to take away from your magnificence, to just learn of your magnificence by way of your own expression in the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to be able to know you straightway with nothing in between. God, thank you very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them. And our God, we're going to thank you. In Christ's name, amen.